Hello, everyone, and welcome to probably the first episode of Rivian Tracker Hangouts. It's a terrible name, but that is what I am calling it. Today, I am joined by Zach Nelson, also known as Jerry Rig Everything. Zach, how are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on for the inaugural episode.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you for taking time out of your busy day and destroying phones and building bunkers underneath your house and all the other fun stuff you get to do.
Yeah.
So Zach, you know, the idea behind this show is, you know, let's talk a little bit about Rivian stuff, talk EVs in general, and then, you know, kind of just shoot the crap about other things as well. But you know, you, you own an R1T, right? A generation one R1T.
Yeah.
You know, you now kind of use it for kind of your business, the Not a Wheelchair business as well. But I'm curious to kind of get your thoughts on how your experience owning your R1T has been like so far.
Because yeah, so,
you've had it out for 2 years, right?
For almost three. Like, it's almost time for my three-year update on that thing. Which, like, I think the national average of driving is, like, you know, 12 to 15,000 miles a year, give or take. And I'm right on that. So I'm nearing 34,000 miles. But I was thinking about that exact question this week. And I was just like, because I have like an early 1000 VIN.
Yeah.
And I was like, I've had almost zero issues over the course of the last 3 years. And like, it just goes to show like how well Rivian like nailed that first truck. Like, especially because like, and we'll get into this later, but like I manufacture wheelchairs as well. And like,
yeah,
going through my different iterations of my Not a Wheelchair project, like we didn't nail our first version of our off-road wheelchair, nor like our manual wheelchairs, but like Rivian having nailed something this complex with thousands of different decisions and thousands of different variables, like it's just so impressive how little issues I've had with my truck over the course of 3 years.
That's awesome. Yeah. And, you know, so I had also a Gen 1 R1T. My VIN was not as low as yours. It was in the 4,000 range. And very similar experience to what you're describing. I had very little issues. Yeah, there was some wind noise that came from, you know, the corner window, if you want to get particular. And I mean, that's the thing with electric vehicles, right? They're quiet. So every other little sound just kind of like gets amplified. And then, you know, I traded up to the Gen 2, which has just been like a huge improvement, right? In terms of quality and in terms of sound, like obviously everything is just so much more quiet and all that. But that's really great to hear. And, you know, for a moment there, you know, you had done this video here, which is now 9 months old, but this was kind of talking about your ownership with your Rivian, you know, for what was it, 2 years almost at that point?
Yeah.
And I mean, you had pretty much really great things to say about the vehicle. You know, there nothing that others hadn't said before. So that's really cool to hear. And now my question to you is, if you had to do it all over again, and I think I know the answer to this, would you get another Rivian?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've driven all of the electric trucks, and like every electric truck, like even the Cybertruck and the Chevy, they all have really good things about them. But for me and my personality and what I use trucks for, like Rivian just matches it perfectly. Like I came from a Toyota Tacoma into the Rivian space, and having just like a bit bigger of a truck with more towing capabilities, like Rivian just fits me perfect.
I love it. So
until the Scout electric truck might give Rivian a run for its money.
That's a great segue. But before we jump into Scout, because I do want to talk about Scout because you've had the chance to kind of see them and check it out. What would you say is your favorite thing about the Rivian, but also what is your least favorite thing? Because I think we have to be fair that not everything about Rivian is perfect. And I'm a tech guy. I'm a software guy. I focus a lot on the software side of things when it comes to Rivian. And I know that Rivian software, comparatively to like Tesla, for example, still has a lot of work to go, right? There's still a lot of things that need to be done to get there. But I'm curious to hear your thoughts on like, what is your like favorite thing about Rivian, but also like your least favorite thing. And we could talk product, company, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't really have like the software thing doesn't bother me all that much. Like honestly, if there was no software in the truck, like I would be 100% fine with that. So that doesn't bother me. I think I really like having the smaller form factor of truck. Like while, so I'm currently driving, we had to play musical trucks at my factory because we snapped the Cybertruck in half. And so I'm driving a Chevy Silverado EV right now, which is like freaking huge. Like it has a massive battery pack. Like even the doors are very heavy. They're heavy doors. But even just like driving down the freeway, like you take up the whole lane. Like there's no wiggle room on either side between the lines, you know, but in a Rivian, like you fit in the lane and you can like, there's room for everyone on the freeway. If you drive, you know, a smaller truck, which like, you know, the Tele truck also, it like takes it even a step farther to go even smaller. But I think the size of the truck is like my favorite thing, while still maintaining like 11,000 pounds of towing capacity. Cause I tow quite a bit. Having a bed is fun. If I had to pick a least favorite thing, nothing comes to mind right now. I know that's cliche, but like, I really like the truck.
Sure. Sure. I would ask you, a lot of people, one of the biggest complaints from Rivian is their service, right? Service times, things do take a long time. And it doesn't sound like you've had a lot of issues when it comes to that. So that's really good. But just to confirm, you really haven't, like you haven't had to deal with like Rivian service at all?
No, I had to take it in once. I can't remember what it was for. I think there was something like the steering wheel was like shaking or something. Got like it. That.
Is your original tonneau still working?
No, that broke. They replaced it and that broke again. So
oh, it is. And now there's a new one though. There's a new one. There's a new, the new gen, the gen 2 tonneau, right? They call it gen 2, even though technically it's gen 3. That rolls.
I pulled the tonneau out a little bit. If I help the tonneau, it's just fine. So it's
okay. Okay.
I'm not,
it just needs some assistance.
Fix that. Yeah.
Gotcha.
So they did service, had my truck for about a week one time, but they got me a loaner. So it was like,
good.
Not that big of a deal. So service hasn't been a big issue for me personally.
Good. Good. Yeah. That's been that's probably a big complaint for a lot of people is just service turnaround times. And as Rivian continues to grow and with R2 coming out next year, and I look forward to checking out your reviews and thoughts on R2 as well, they're going to have to expand, right, their service network way more. They're going to have to build out more service centers. They're already kind of feeling cramped, and a lot of people will agree to that, oh, I dropped my truck off and it takes 2 weeks before they even look at it, right? Because maybe it's not a critical thing. And sometimes they'll get a loaner, sometimes they won't. I have been very lucky to, you know, knock on wood, I haven't had that experience, you know, thankfully, with either of my generation trucks, but I do know personally a lot of people who have run into that. So I'm glad to hear that you haven't had that issue, and hopefully you don't, especially the way I've seen you treat your truck, like a real truck, you know?
Yeah.
So
I'm curious though, because like the second generation is tempting to me. My personality is that I use things until they break and then, you know, fix them and then keep on using them. But like the second gen, what's the biggest difference between the first and second for you?
Yeah. And you know, it's funny because prior to this call, I was in a group chat with other people. And we were talking about this, like, oh, you know, is gen 2 incising? People are always constantly asking me, like, should I upgrade? And the truth is, I would have not traded in my truck and gotten a gen 2 had it not been for like content for like Rivian Tracker, because it's like, oh, it's like if I was reporting on last year's iPhone, right? I'm not gonna, like, at some point, you know, enough people are gonna upgrade to the next thing, and like you have to kind of keep up with the trend.
Yeah.
But honestly, there's a couple of things. Love the 4K HDR cameras, right? Like just the cameras. I feel like on gen 1 the cameras were potatoes. They were really, really bad.
You're not wrong.
Which is just like, it baffles me because, well, I'll get into that in a second, but like, how do you make a vehicle in, you know, 2021, 2022 with such bad cameras? But then again, I recently leased my wife an Ioniq 5, you know, short-term lease until we get R2, and that's a 2024 model year car with also really bad cameras and software, and it's just like, I guess they'll just pick out whatever they have in the parts bin and throw it in there, right? Yeah. Which whatever's cheaper. But definitely the cameras. You know, I think that the reality is with Gen 2 quality and build quality has definitely improved substantially. I'm not a person who cares about panel gaps if they're misaligned, as long as like the door fits properly and it's not like causing something to get scratched or damaged. I'm pretty much okay with it, right? So like my hood is still slightly off in the 6 months I've owned my truck, and I'm like, oh, I need to take it in and get it fixed, but it's such a, like a non-issue. Like I'm not gonna waste their time or my time with like dealing with that. But build quality has gotten much better, as well as the interior. So I have the tri-motor, which has the upgraded in Ascend interior, right? So a little bit more premium. I don't know if this is just me or not, but like the seats in general feel more comfortable. Everything just feels a little bit more upscale versus like the traditional adventure trim, which is the what the dual standard comes with, or the dual motor, and Gen 1 did. And then but there are some flaws, I would say. I definitely think that Gen 2 max pack, right? The max battery pack, which is what the tri-motor has, so it's the big boy battery. The thermals suck, right? Like I'm just gonna be blunt and say that they suck, right? So like charging is really bad, right? The battery just as soon as it gets a hot spot in it, it's like that's it, throttled, and you don't really get above 200 kilowatts. If you're lucky, you'll get that, right? And like you look at other manufacturers out there, some are worse, but there's definitely a lot more that are just doing thermals better and doing battery management better. And Rivian improved a lot of things in Gen 2, but didn't do anything with the battery. They just put the same stuff in there, right? Actually, it's a different. I'm not going to try to get too technical, but it actually is a different battery. It's a different cell chemistry, but everything else was kept the same. So the thermals were the same. So it got worse from Gen 1 to Gen 2, for Max Pack. So when I tell people, hey, they ask me, what Rivian should I buy? Honestly, the standard LFP model is probably the best route to go because you're going to get the best charging performance. Yeah, you'll probably have to charge a little bit more because more often because you'll have to, smaller battery. But you're gonna get it'll hold that 200 kilowatts longer, right? Across the board. So
But you're
charging
talking
times
like
will be decreased.
road trips and stuff like that. 90% of the time, most people just charge at home.
And if that's the case, it's zero, that's a zero issue, right? Like I charge at home, wake up in the morning, truck's at 70%, whatever I set it at, and we're good to go, right? Not even an issue. So you're right, but there are, road tripping is a thing, and I think a lot of people, while they'll use it day to day, they're like scared of road tripping an EV because they're worried about range anxiety and all that. So I always try to tell people like, that's I wouldn't. It's not really that big of a concern, I think personally. But so yeah, I mean, just charging, and I mean, if you really look at the differences between Gen 1 and Gen 2 on paper, they really aren't that much more, right? A lot of it was under the cover. Because like it's what Riv it was really mainly designed for Rivian to save money, right? Per vehicle. That's what it came down to. It's like, how do we save money? Because we built Gen 1 during COVID era, right? It was the pandemic, parts were the supply chain issues, all that stuff. Like they just tried to get what they could. Now Rivian is, established. They can, reach out to suppliers and say, hey, look, we're a real car company too, Like we can build real cars and people are interested in buying them. So but like if you were to tell me, oh, Jose, I want to buy a Gen 2, should I upgrade? I mean, I'd say, do you need it? Like ch chances are you don't. Like unless you really want those cameras and you really want to be able to do like hands-off driving on ADAS, right? Because like that's the thing, right? We're kind of limited in Gen 1. Then I would say no. But also, I like new things. So like I want the newer thing. And so for me, it was like, oh yeah, pretty shiny new things.
Yeah, I have a pre-order for the quad motor max pack or whatever that the beefy one is. I'm still unsure if I'm going to pull the trigger on that. Is that next year? When does that one come out?
It's gonna be this year. Yeah,
You
soon,
think this
very
year?
soon. Oh
Dang.
no, yeah, they said 2025, early 2025.
Oof, man, it's going to be hard. That's going to be a hard decision for me.
Yeah, it's coming up. I mean, honestly, I if I had to take a guess, next month or two, we're gonna start seeing that roll out of the light.
Wow.
So,
Dang, I don't know if I'm
so.
ready to pull the trigger yet, but like you said, it's like getting content with it and like having the quickest electric truck on the planet. That's tempting.
I mean, I have spoken to people at Rivian, and I had this conversation when I was looking to get my tri-motor. And I was like, oh yeah, tri-motor's enough. And now, like I'm reading and seeing content come out from Quad and being done, here and there. I'm like, oh, did I make a mistake? Like, that should I have waited? Do I need a quad? No. Do I want it? Yeah. But yeah, we just gotta get you, Zach, more referrals, and we'll throw that in the description below so we can get you more Rivian referrals so
That
that
would
you don't
make
even
the
have to
decision
worry about
easier
it.
if it's paid for.
Exactly. So let's talk a little bit about Scout. You brought up Scouts, and Scout is kind of and I have your video here playing in the background quietly, but you got a chance to check out the Scout trucks. And give me your thoughts and impressions on, like, the how, what is it, the Scout Traveler and the Terra. What are your, like, initial thoughts? Obviously, these are early prototype vehicles, right? Everything we see is subject to change. But, like, just getting kind of a glance at it, what do you think?
I mean, one thing that I really like about Rivian is just like their outdoor, protect the environment, go exploring, adventures out there ethos. And I feel like that this company, Scout Motors, has the same ethos, like where they're like, we want to be an adventure vehicle. And it's nice that it's slightly larger than not Tacoma, Rivian. Because like the
Although it is
best
larger than Tacoma, right?
valid point, it's a full size truck. Like it's the same size as like a Ford Lightning. It's a big boy.
Okay.
Because like I have an electric snowmobile from it's called the Nomad by Taiga, and it won't fit in the back of my Rivian, which is annoying. And so like I would have to like pull it in a trailer or something else. But having just a slightly longer bed where I can fit a snowmobile in the back would be beneficial. And just so I'm really excited that there's another company coming out in the same space that wants to like be an adventure vehicle, and having the onboard generator for range extending. Not that I would like ever use it, but I don't know. It's just like it's an interesting little tweak, quirky feature that is a good selling point, and I'm excited to see him on the road in 5 years. It's going to be a while, I feel like.
So the question I have for you is, do you think that this will make it to production?
I hope so. I
Okay.
hope so.
Me too. I have a reservation down for the truck, because I feel like this is very much following, like you said, that Rivian, like, momentum, or, like, adventuring, doing stuff like that. And so that's kind of really cool. It is a bigger truck. A lot of people that I hear, one of their biggest complaints about Rivian is like, oh, the R1T is just too small. I want something bigger. Fair, right? I completely understand that. But Rivian is not, they're not going to make a full-size truck anytime soon, right? So this could be that. And what's really cool about Scout is, obviously, they're a subsidiary, or they're working with Volkswagen. Volkswagen Group. And if you know anything about what's going on with Rivian and Volkswagen, they've created this joint venture. So Scout actually is running the cool, the zonal architecture and the software from Rivian on their Scout vehicles. So, like, now you have these vehicles that kind of quack like a duck and talk like a duck, but they're not exactly a duck. It's like, I'm kind of like, what, who's, but Rivian is like, no, they're completely different. And Scout's like, no, they're completely different. So they're like, okay, fine. But are they? And I haven't had a chance to see these. I hope I do soon. They look really cool. I think that old school look, right? Like, there's just a retro kind of this. The inside, they decided to go in with more buttons, right? Less, still have your touch screens and all that, but there's, like, physical buttons. And I used to own an FJ Cruiser, right? So I remember having all the fun, quirky buttons and things to be able to do. And I think that, if they can deliver on these products, and I think, being backed by Volkswagen or being part of the group, I think they'll be okay. I do think that 5 years might be a little too late. Like, I feel like we need to get maybe faster. I'm sure Rivian wants the R2 out right now, but realistically, you can't just spin up a whole new car overnight, right? It takes a lot of work and effort. And they don't want to cut any corners. So I hope that Scout does make it, because I'd love to see these on the road. And I'm of the mindset, I'm pretty sure that you are too, because I think I kind of understand and seen what you post and all that, that more options in electric vehicles is better for the consumer.
Yeah, for sure.
As much as I love Rivian and talk about them a lot, I want there are other great trucks out there, and I want them to be more. And speaking of trucks, let's talk about a little one. Because I'm obsessed with this, by the way, because I went to Japan many years ago and I saw the Kei trucks over there. So there are these little trucks, right? And so you had a chance to check out the Tilo, Telo? Is it Tilo? How do you say it?
Hello.
Telo truck. And I've reached out to them. I'm actually in talks with them too to kind of work and do a little bit of content with them because I'm obsessed with everything about this truck. Tell me a little bit about what you thought about it because this is actually relatively new. 2 weeks ago, you went out and got, or at least you posted it 2 weeks ago, but you've got a chance to check it out and drive it. What do you think?
Yeah, super huge fan of that. It's kind of incorporating some of the same things that Rivian has, you know, like with that monster tunnel underneath the bed. You know, there's a monster
Yeah.
at the bed. And then the drop-down back wall that the Chevy Silverado EV has, and just the small footprint. Again, like I'm not that big of a fan of like having a truck that takes up the whole freeway when you drive it.
Right.
Or like, you know, parking in a parking lot with like a car on either side, having a small truck would be super useful. Yeah, there's and Utah is just like the mecca of big trucks, and so it's just annoying having all of these massive machines driving around everywhere. So I'm really excited for it. And like I met the CEO and like a bunch of the people who were with the company, and they just all seemed like really cool, down to earth people, and I'm excited for them.
Once again, just like I
Yes,
mentioned with
that's
Scout,
Jason right there. He's a stud.
he's awesome, and I've had a chance to talk to him a little bit here and there, but because and the reason I reached out to him is like, hey, this is you guys have a lot of similarities to Rivian, like that's completely fine, right? Like Rivian was not the first company to build a gear tunnel, right, or design that concept, but they definitely executed it very well. And so I think the monster tunnel, the monster under the bed is just like, it's cute. And I use the word cute for this truck, but like everything about it is cute and adorable because it's like so tiny. Although I do worry what you say, like, oh, in America, everybody likes to drive their big trucks. I'm here in Florida. I get it. I see them everywhere too. And I would be very scared to drive something. I mean, it's like driving a smart car on a highway, right? Like I just like you get a semi passes next to you and you're like, this is it. This is how it ends today, right? Like, do you think there's a market in America for a truck of this size?
I think so, especially in like cities and stuff like that, you know, because like, you know, if you go to New York and drive around like the center of New York City, like there's no big trucks. Like people realize that it's impossible to drive a big truck, and they're so impractical. And then I feel like there's a market for it. If they can get it to market, they will succeed.
And that's really the catch, right? I do hope that they can succeed. I'm not familiar, if they're backed by anybody or any big company. So I think, they're kind of doing their own thing. But I do hope that we get to see them because they're super adorable and again, like affordable, right? It seems like that's the catch, right? When you build something small and convenient and compact, you can also give it a good price point. And right now, there really is it's really hard for people to want to get into an EV truck, right? We talk about Americans love trucks, but it's hard because like they're all really expensive. Like there's not a lot of options for a reasonable truck, right? Even a Rivian, we're talking $60,000, $75,000. That's a lot of money for a lot of people. And even maybe getting a lease, but you're still paying maybe like $4.99, $5.99 a month. Like that's a lot of money still. So the question is, or really what we're looking for is hopefully something like this can be affordable but sold, and it can be easy to sell, right? Like I would buy one that's like a second truck for like the weekend, go around town and like have fun. Maybe I wouldn't go on a road trip with this, but I think it would be fun to like do it around town. And if they can be successful and build it, I could totally see this working overseas in Europe or Asia for sure.
For sure.
Okay, let's shift gears to tell me what's happening here, Zach. So what happened here? So okay, this has been controversial. Let's talk about this.
Let's do it.
This you decided to see how much you could tow with your Cybertruck, right? You wanted to see if the casting being that it's made out of aluminum and all that, which is very like, let's talk like that's a reality. Like Aluminum is lightweight, right? And please stop me if I'm wrong, if I'm wrong at any point, because you are more expert at this than I am. But like,
For
you know,
sure.
we see a lot of vehicles now being built with aluminum because it's probably more affordable. It's lightweight, right? And everything about EV trucks, especially, you know, when you put in a big battery, everything else has to be lightweight to be able to compensate for the difference in weight. And so you tested to try to see how, you know, the Cybertruck, 11,000 pounds of towing, right, capacity, and you wanted to see how close you could get to that. But you got it to break at about 10,000 pounds. Although the internet and everybody, you know, is like, oh, you did it wrong because there's a difference between the force of going down versus pulling. Talk to me about this
Yeah,
because
for sure.
I heard about it everywhere, and this was all over my social media feeds for weeks. It
Cool.
still is.
So there's a huge difference between like towing weight and tongue weight, but they're also very much related. Like you can't have one without the other, and you want to distribute. And the interesting part of this video is like, if I had to reshoot it, I would have put my tongue weight explanation at the beginning instead of right after the truck broke. Because if
Right.
there's three parts of the video, we test the Cybertruck, I explain tongue weight, and then we test the next truck, which is like a Dodge Ram. And I would have taken that tongue weight explanation and put it at the beginning to help, you know, people realize that we're not testing the towing limit, we're testing the tongue weight. And it actually did really, really well. I was assuming that it would break around 4,000 or 5,000 pounds, and it made it all the way to 10. And so I said in the video, like that's really good.
Yep.
However, if someone who's not experienced with towing loads their trailer wrong, they could very much like they think, oh, like, oh, 10,000 pounds, I can park that excavator wherever I want on the trailer. But if they park it too close to the tongue, you have almost 10,000 pounds of weight on that tongue. And so like the failure point of the Cybertruck within reason is too close to the actual towing weight of the truck. And in my opinion, I wasn't a huge fan of that aspect. And then we also tested the Dodge truck at the end, and we were bouncing the excavator off of that hitch, and like nothing was happening.
Yeah,
So
yeah.
yeah,
Yeah.
it was a fun, entertaining durability test. And I should have clarified some things at the beginning of the video.
It happens, right? In hindsight, right? Everything, you know, could be better and whatnot, but I mean, personally, I think it was a good video. I mean, like you said, it's entertainment at the end of the day. And I enjoyed, you know, seeing that. And I mean, if you did that to any other vehicle, I would enjoy, right? I mean, I think that the reality is you did it with a Cybertruck, well, let's call it what it is, a controversial vehicle, right? Like there's nothing, you know, let's not sugarcoat it. I mean, the Cybertruck is controversial, you know, whatever side of the aisle you stand on, because that's just the reality. And I'm sure, you know, if you had done it with an F-150 Lightning, it would have probably not been as exciting, right? People probably wouldn't have been so hyped up about it. But it is what it is. You did it, and I think you did well in defending yourself. You know, not defending yourself, but like talk. You know, explaining why you did it. And of course, there's other people that, you know, try to counter your points and, you know, say, oh, well, you know, you just didn't explain it correctly, or you were just trying to, you know, make Tesla look bad. And I don't really truly think that was the goal with that video, personally. Probably get hate for saying that too, because, you know, why not? But so continue with the Cybertruck. You did that test. Previously to that, you had mentioned a little bit earlier this year that, you know, you haven't been happy with obviously Elon's stuff, right? And the way he's handling things and all that. And so you had mentioned that you wanted to get rid of all your Teslas, because you have a Model X, right, that your wife drives, and you have your Cybertruck. Do you have anything else? Any other Tesla?
I have two Model Ys, one that
Okay.
my parents drive, and then the one that I use at my shop. One of my engineers drives it.
Okay. So you mentioned that, you know, by the end of the year, I think if I recall correctly, you're like, I want to get rid of, you know, all my Teslas. And so yeah, putting aside that, yeah, you're gonna do that, that's fine. So be it. You know, everybody's entitled to do what they like, and you know, if it makes if you want to speak with your money and your presence, like you have a following, people know who you are. It makes an impact on people, right? Like people listen to what you say. And so, but more I'm curious, like you have the Cybertruck now, which is obviously a little broken. So you're gonna have to get that fixed up, right? And then you're gonna sell it. Like, what's the plan with the Cybertruck?
So it's actually at Tesla's shop right now. They've had it for about 4 days, while they're like figuring out how much it's going to cost to fix. There's just no one could like give an exact number because like it's the whole rear casting that needs to be swapped out, which is like fairly labor intensive.
Yeah.
And so it'll be interesting to see what that number is. But like to get it running, I bet it's just a pyro fuse. So like I bet I could get it
Yeah.
running for like $500 if I wanted to. It just wouldn't have a hitch anymore. Which is fine because I would never tow anything with the Cybertruck anyway.
Yeah.
So that's I will get it running again and then we'll sell it after that. And then yeah, we'll probably switch one of the Model Ys for a Rivian of some kind. I'm not sure which one yet. And then the one, yeah, we'll end up with new cars. All of them will be
Yeah.
swapped out.
What do you think is a good replacement for the Cybertruck
So we've already
for what
bought
he's in?
the Chevy Silverado EV.
Oh, okay. Wonderful. Awesome. That's great.
So that one should be here in the middle of April, I think, which is kind of fun. But yeah, same price.
The work truck.
Yeah. Well, no, we actually bought the LT.
Nice. Okay.
Just because it has the drop down mid gate. But it's basically the same price as a Cybertruck with 100 miles more range, and it's, you know, a normal looking truck. So we're excited for it. And it can tow
That's
more.
awesome. And you can tell more. Yeah.
Yeah.
You gonna do a durability test on
Probably not.
that one? that's fun. No, that's okay. That's awesome. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I think, some people would say, oh, you need to take Tesla and Elon and you need to separate them. For some people it's hard. And I mean, I think Tesla still built very, very great vehicles. I've never personally been a fan of the Cybertruck. Even though, funny enough, I did have a pre-order initially because, I think everyone did. Like, I feel like everyone in the world had one. And then, of course, they've only been able to sell 40-ish thousand of them. So I don't know where everybody else went. Maybe they're on Mars. But okay, cool. Well, I'm interested to see what happens with the Cybertruck personally, and I'm sure other people will be interested to see, what happens with that. And but I think if anything, it was a good educational video, and hopefully it kind of gets out there and just shows people really the importance of like towing properly. Because I don't tow really, to be honest. And so like I don't know, like if I were doing that, I wouldn't really know. Like I understand that you want to get the balance over the wheels of the trailer more, from my understanding. So I'm like, but I've actually learned that from you, funny enough, like watching your video. So thank you. So cool. Well, is there anything else EV related before we kind of wrap up that you want to talk about?
No, I think when you were talking about like Elon and Tesla, I still know it's like a controversial subject, right? But like
Talk about it. Yeah, let's talk
I
about
feel
it.
like the thing that bothers me with Tesla is a lot of like the full self-driving like vernacular that they've been using. And like I fell into that hype like 10 years ago, and I was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna have a self-driving car next year, you know. And this was like freaking 2014 or 15 or something like that. And so I've paid probably like $10,000 or $12,000 in full self-driving fees, and like here we are 10 years later and we don't have it. And so it's like there's more than just like, oh, Elon's a bad guy. Not that I would actually say that, you know, like Elon's a controversial subject, right? But like Tesla themselves have also been participating in this like never-ending, like next year it's coming, next year it's coming, next year it's coming. And like I feel like the innovation with Tesla kind of stopped after the Model Y. Like they dropped this really cool vehicle. And then ever since then, it's been like this weird looking bus. It's been like a weird robot thing. It's been like a weird taxi cab thing with the full self-driving that still doesn't exist, but it's going to exist next year, like it has been for the last 10 years. So it's like there's just my little rant there, but I've bowed out of like the snake oil salesman that's not just coming from Elon, but it's coming from Tesla company as a whole. And it's like you can't say next year for 10 years and still
No.
keep me as a customer. I imagine other people might be okay with that, but like, man, fool me nine times, you're not going to fool me a tenth. So I'm out.
It is. And so I have a question. Have you had a chance to try out like the latest full self-driving version?
So that's another thing. So every vehicle I have has the version 3 hardware or whatever, and so it's like I can't even if I wanted to. And so
Gotcha.
like he says he's going to go retrofit a
Yeah.
million cars with hardware 3 to hardware 4. Like, doubt. I don't think
Yeah,
that's going to
that's
happen.
rough. That's hard,
So
yeah.
anyway, lies and false advertising aside, I'm just done with the whole company. And it's time for me to move on.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah, and I mean, you're not the first person, right, I've heard say, "Oh my God, I've bought Full Self-Driving and spent thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, you know, f with fake and false promises." And of course, I'm sure the comments, if anybody watches this video, will be like, you know, "Oh, but what are you talking about? Have you tried Full Self-Driving 13 point whatever? It drives you from point A to point B, and like, but like, not like it's not still Full Self-Driving."
And who's liable? Who's
Right.
liable if it gets in a wreck? The person who
The
should be paying
person.
attention, right?
Right. Not the car.
Yeah.
How do you sue the car? It's like
Until
watching those Waymo accidents happen and like the police are like, "I don't know what to do with this. Like who's at fault here?" Like
doesn't Waymo take responsibility for those
they're gonna
wrecks?
have yeah, they do. They do, but I imagine at the initial it's like there's no driver help, right? Like at
Yeah,
first glance.
until Tesla and Elon have skin in the game and are taking responsibility, full self-driving does not exist by definition.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah. I think you can agree that the term full self-driving from the get-go was just wrong, right? That should have never, ever been what we called it, right? Call it enhanced autopilot, I don't care, right? Come up with whatever gimmicky name you want to, but it definitely has never been full self-driving because full self-driving means I can go to sleep, wake up, and be in my place, right? That's my interpretation of it. I watched the movie I, Robot. I remember what that was like, right? That was the full self-driving when the Audi cars would take you in the tunnel and take you from A to B and you don't have to do anything. And that's not what it is today. And I agree with you. I don't think it's gonna happen anytime soon, especially with government regulatory and all that stuff. And you know, I mean, we could sit here and assume a lot of things, but we won't. But we'll see where it kind of goes from there. But and I think you make a valid point where it's like I've seen you comment that your issue is not so much with Tesla, but with Elon. Is that accurate?
I'm not a fan of what he's doing with the government, right? But like my issue when I'm getting rid of my Teslas, it's not because Elon is Elon, it's because like Tesla is Tesla. Like they're both of them are so joined, and I'm not a
Yeah.
fan of either of them at this point. So
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah. And I mean, I, without getting into too much details, because I'm not allowed to say too much, but I know that Rivian trade-ins, like Tesla trade-ins at Rivian locations, have been upticked. Like there's been an uptick of that in the last couple months. And so, yay for Rivian. And
yeah.
also, like, there's a
These
bunch
customers
of
are—they're
great.
getting a better vehicle now. So,
Yeah. I'm sure that will not be a controversial statement whatsoever. I'm sure this whole last part will not be controversial whatsoever. But you know what? Like, whatever. Like, let's talk about it because I feel like why not? It's just something to talk about. But anyways, okay. So we'll leave it at that. And but I think we know where you and I both stand. Let's talk about, first of all, I want to plug your YouTube channel because I think that you do some phenomenal stuff. So if you haven't checked out at Jerry Rig Everything on YouTube, check out his amazing content. I mean, I love your stuff, and I'm gonna say this here: my wife also loves the content you make, not for the content you make, but for you. And
thank you.
she has a type, right?
Right.
And
Character, right.
yeah, and so definitely check it out. You know, everything from you've been doing definitely more EV content, but I still love your, you know, traditional, you know, durability tests with phones and devices and all that fun stuff. So it's just that's how I got started meeting you. So it's great that we've been able to connect with that. And then also you have one of the many things I feel like you do, because you figure you do a lot of things, but you have your Not a Wheelchair project, and I want to talk a little bit about that here. Can you give us a little bit of the description for those who don't know what this is?
Yeah, so the very long story short is I met a girl like 6 years ago who's in a wheelchair, and we were dating, and I realized very quickly that off-road wheelchairs were like $20,000, and like regular manual wheelchairs were like 5 or 6,000 bucks, and so I kind of like started, like the seed was planted in my brain that like, hey, I could make something way cheaper than that. So currently we have an off-road wheelchair for 5,000, 25% of other vehicles out there. And then we also have a manual wheelchair, which is like it's an active wheelchair with 10,000 different variables that custom fit it to a person's
Oh,
body,
wow.
what you see on screen there, which
So
makes
cool.
sense. There's 10,000 variables. It makes manufacturing extremely difficult. But we sell that for $1,000, where our competitors sell them for $5,000. And so we are again 20% of the cost of the industry. And we've been pumping these out every single day for the past. We got into our new space in July of last year, so like 9 months, give or take. And we're having a lot of fun with it. Like it's we have a team of 15 people, a 26,000 square foot factory with lasers and CNC benders, and we're doing the manufacturing and the factory stuff that like I've enjoyed seeing other companies do. So it's a really fun passion project for us.
And they're made here in America,
Made here in America, and like
which,
I don't make any money from that business. Like that's also
yeah.
partially why they're so inexpensive, because like I'm not going to profit from it. Like who why would I try to make money off of people in wheelchairs? Like that's not something I want to do. And so like we will be a profitable business, but me
Yeah.
personally, I won't be taking any money from it.
That's good to know. I didn't actually know that, so that's kind of good to know. And I mean, I think that plays into a lot of people's factor because there are, every company wants to be, every for profit company, right, wants to make money, and it's all for the shareholders and stuff like that, so to speak. So it is kind of nice to see for a change. And I know personally, again, following you through your content, I've kind of followed you as you've built these out and seen the business grow from my perspective, which is kind of really cool. I don't use a wheelchair, but I know plenty of people who do, and I've absolutely linked them to, your site to take a look at them. And so I appreciate, I did not know that a wheelchair could cost $20,000. Like, that was just crazy to me. But then I did the research and I saw that, holy cow, that's like, you're right. Like, that's not an exaggeration. 'Cause I'm here sitting, wow, $5,000 is a lot of money. But no, it's not. It's really not. Not in the grand scheme of things. And this is something you're using every single day. Like, this is the person's livelihood. And so to be able to see that, but then also to offer an affordable option, the manual wheelchair at $1,000, starting $1,000, like, that's just fantastic too. So that's really great. Is there anything else you want to plug while I have you here?
Not really. I mean, that's just we kind of hit on everything, Rivian's for the most part, and a little bit of the YouTube side of things, and hopefully, you have your own YouTube channel as well, and it's fun to see that grow. And
Thank you.
the more people
Yeah.
out there creating content, the better. The more people out there creating family-friendly, educational, uplifting content, the better.
It's the world is a scary place sometimes. And so even as I sit here and I create a little bit of Rivian content that maybe a 100 people might watch, maybe less, who knows, right? Some videos are good, some videos are not. That's okay, because like, if I can help someone later, like, that's exactly what I want to do. I just want to kind of spread the news. And I drive an electric, I should have asked you this question at the beginning, but like, I drive electric car because they're fun, right? And but I also love, I want to help the environment. Like, I am a person who loves our planet and wants, our future kids to, have a planet to inherit, like a good planet. And I feel like you're probably the same way, but like, why do you drive an EV, EVs? Because you have multiple of them. What really, like, why? Like, what's your primary reason behind it?
Their fun is like one of the main reasons, but also just like they're so much more logical. Like there's no maintenance, there's no moving parts, there's like they're just so much they're fun to drive, but they're so much easier to drive. And so like taking your car in to go get the oil changed every 5 or 10,000 miles is just like a waste of time. Like you have to go sit at the shop or drop it off, or like it's half a day wasted. You know, but with an EV, there's no maintenance, and it just makes it so much more logical to drive. I drive an EV because it's logical. How about that?
There you go. Do you have any more gas power cars or no?
No, my Humvee, I swapped that for electric. My wife's driving.
Glad you brought that up.
Yeah,
I didn't see any more Humvee content.
After the bunker, we have probably like six more bunker videos because I got to get that done this year.
Yeah.
But then with the Hummer, I mean, it still runs. Like I drove it like 2 days ago, 3 days ago. But I want to get it painted. I want to get it like a little like sound dampening and like insulation inside. And yeah, there's more projects there, but not in the near future.
Sure. Fair enough. Yeah. I mean, I should have mentioned that earlier, but of course, you know, many other things to talk about, but I really enjoyed watching your transition of taking this old Humvee, you know, old school Hummer, military Hummer, and like tearing it apart and making it electric. And like, that's so freaking cool. Like, you know, I wish I could do that, but it's very enjoyable to watch that because, you know, and just like kind of, and learn in the process, right? And it's just like sometimes watching content like that is it's just like it inspires you to want to do something too. Like, you know, it's like, oh, now I want to go build something, or now I want to go take something apart, right?
Yeah, and hopefully, because like honestly, dude, like social media is like ruining humanity. My life is on social media, right? But like it's also destroying humanity. And so like putting out like the educational or like the DIY stuff out there, hopefully it does inspire people to put down their phones and go out and see the real world, touch some grass. You know how it is.
I love it. Well, Zach, thank you so much for joining. I appreciate taking some time today, and make sure you go check out Jerry Rig Everything on YouTube. Check out notawheelchair.com. And then I'll link all of this in the description below, as the YouTubers say. And I also link your Rivian referral code. If you're interested in a referral, or interested, I should say, in a Rivian, check out Zach's referral code, you know, support him, help him so that he can get another Rivian and help make content too, because I feel like the more Rivian content, the more EV content out there, the more we can educate others who might not be so inclined to consider an EV and learn that it's like, you know, it's no different, and it's actually better in so many ways. So thank you, and I hope we can chat again soon.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, take care.